I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 26 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango. And with me to my right is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one on Twitter. And Jared Kimber to my left, who you can literally find everywhere. And in this podcast, we basically take any generic cricket category and drop our top 5 or 6 in a snake-style draft competition. So the order of the picks goes 1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. And the topic for this particular episode is a very interesting one. So we have to draft our top 5 bowlers to bowl the final over of a game for us. Could be any game. Doesn't have to be T20. And they have to defend 10 runs in that final over. Now, you could pick someone who is retired. You could pick someone who is current. This one is completely open-ended, which is why I think it'll make for a great podcast. And Jared Kimber has picked number one this time.
Jasprit Bumrah.
Yeah, he's like been the first pick in like 5 different podcasts, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think before this season, I wonder if I might have gone someone else only because as good as he was, I think there are other players who obviously at times, you know, maybe had a longer bit of work. But he's been, this IPL season's maybe been as good as he's ever been. And he's just come off an incredible test series against England as well. I think, and he's the best defensive bowler I think I've ever seen. So with all those things put together, it makes sense for him to go number one here.
Yeah, no, I think in any world, he would have been number one because...
Were you picking him number one, Behram?
Yes, 100%. I think I have picked him number one a couple of times. And so have you.
We know that Estelle wasn't.
I would have picked him.
So this is... Is this the first of in a while, unanimous number one pick?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, but actually, we've had what about...
Yeah, the Mizbah scoop was quite unanimous.
Might have been, yeah.
But
it's
it's
been a while since we've had one. Remember when we had Dilhara Fernando? I'm just thinking back to the great number one.
I think we picked Bumrah as,
all format bowler, was it?
All format,
I think, yeah. I did, or you did, one of us did, but and we were building an all-time T20 11 as well. I think he was first pick in that one as well. I know I've picked him number one a couple of times, and I remember Estelle's, and now Jared has one too. Makes absolute sense. Can't think of any other name to bowl that final over for you. And 10 runs might be just too many for Bumrah. Like, how are you going to get 10 runs in that over, right? Just that quality of player. But my pick is next. I'm going second. I'm going to pick his mentor. Sorry, Estelle. I'm stealing this one from you. Lasith Malinga is going to be my number one pick. If I want those slower ones, he can give them to me both back of the length or, you know, as Yorkers. He can give me fast Yorkers. He can give me bouncers. Malinga can give me everything. And in terms of, you know, bowling death overs, he is one of the most decorated names in the history of cricket. And I mean, peak Malinga might even have been better than Bumrah, you know, for a bit. Even though Bumrah, I think, for a longer period has been more consistent and Malinga had his drop-offs. But peak Malinga could give you six Yorkers at will and different kinds of Yorkers, right? And it was just the angle and everything and the dip that he got on his slower ones. And he would just always kind of keep you on your toes. You didn't know what to expect. And the whole action kind of threw you off as well. So yeah, he's bowling my final over and he's probably giving away six runs and taking two wickets.
Is that a unanimous number two as well? I feel like I would have gone with him. Yeah.
When I looked at this and I saw that you were the third pick, Estelle, my first thought was she's going to miss out on Malinga.
Well, she had the opportunity to pick Malinga and the slow ball bowlers and she went for Dilara Fernando. Okay. That one's on her.
We all have our moments, Vera.
Oh, yeah. I still can't believe that happened.
I love the moments. I live for the moments.
Okay, so I've got two now, right?
Yeah.
So you've taken the two obvious ones. My next one is going to be Wasim Akram. I think at his peak, the way he used to bowl, early in his career when he was bowling quick or later on when he was bowling off like five paces, right? He was still so good at the death. I remember a game actually, and this wasn't like an international game, so maybe it doesn't really count for much, but it was some kind of exhibition game of a type where they had, the ground was a rectangle or it had like sharp edges or something like that. This was the time where they had those games where if you hit the roof, it's 12 or whatever. And he bowled an over where I think he was defending six and he managed to do it. Obviously probably not the best batters he's faced, but just an incredible bowler with incredible skills. So I think if you look at the best pass, Bumrah and Malinga, there's no doubt in my mind that he should be number three.
I wanted to go with Buzz.
Yeah, I had him on my list. I wasn't sure if he would go this high, though. There's a couple of other players that I thought might go slightly higher, but he certainly... I was interested to see where you two were going to have him. So I think both of you had him a little bit higher than I did, but certainly he's in the top 15.
I was actually convinced
next.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I actually thought that he wouldn't go this early. You know, I had him high up my list and I was like, of course, you know, the old ball, he's going to somehow make the ball reverse in T20s as well. Just trust Waz to do that, right? And just the amount of skill and different tricks that he had up his sleeve, particularly with the old ball, right? When you think of bowlers bowling at the death, reversing the ball, you think of Wasim Akram. And he's done that a lot in ODIs. It's not like we don't have data or evidence. We know that he can do that job. He literally made that ball dance. Not just talk, he made it dance, right? It was magic, pure magic. And I am kind of low-key upset. In another world, I would swap my Malinga pick with Wasim with you. But no, I think it makes sense. And I'm happy to see him go this up, I suppose.
Okay, my next one. I'm going for another left-armer, but probably not the left-armer you guys are expecting. Maybe might get a bit of shit for this as well. I'm going with Shaminda Vaz.
The minute you said, I might get shit for this, I was like, oh my God, she's picking Vaz.
We're not bowling the first over, Estelle. This is the last over.
Yeah, but he's had many instances where he's managed to kind of defend that sort of total or target. And the one that springs to mind, and I think, if I'm talking to Sri Lankan fans, every one of them will remember this, where he defended eight against Australia. I think Simons and Bevan were at the crease.
I think it was 2003 or 2004. I remember that game. Yeah, I watched it live.
Yeah, early 2000. So that's the one that springs to mind. But I do think he was also kind of underestimated in that he was another one who could do a lot with the ball. He could get it to reverse. He was good with his Yorkers. Maybe not as, you know, bowling them as at will like someone like Malinga, but he was still very skillful. Again, a guy who, you know, as he got older, got slower, but just kind of increased his skill base where he would, if he was not able to dismiss you in that last over, I would back him to defend 10.
I mean, that is the only game that's actually coming to my mind, but it's one of those really, you know, often played or replayed games on YouTube as well. Like, I've seen a bunch of people just rewatching that one. I had a really like close Sri Lankan friend in university, and he adored that game. He would always watch those highlights. And plus, that was a victory against an extremely strong Australian outfit, right?
Yeah.
So it meant all the more, like, at that point as well. And yeah, I mean, I'd take Vaas with the new ball over Vaas with the old ball. But I mean, that game is good enough evidence, I suppose. All right. Am I next?
Oh, yep.
Yes, I am.
Yep.
Okay. I don't expect a lot of spinners to go in this particular podcast, but I'm gonna pick one. I'm going to go Rashid Khan. And I think Rashid Khan is one of those unique spinners who you can bowl in any phase of a T20 game. And if I have to defend 10 runs and Rashid is bowling that over for me, I'm actually going to feel confident as a captain that he is going to defend these runs for me. Now, of course, the ball could be wet and the conditions could be as such or whatever. But ultimately, I don't think there have been many spinners in this game who you would trust with if you're giving them the final over, right? That's a very huge responsibility. And Rashid wouldn't be fazed. He would be completely unfazed bowling that last over. And it's going to be extremely difficult to hit him for boundaries. So I would be interested to see how batters approach that over, because 10 runs could be, you know, achieved in doubles. But then, you know, you got two plays and misses and bam, Rashid's completely on top of you. So yeah, I think he deserves to go this high.
And also, like, I mean, another thing that we can consider is the fact that he's probably very likely to get you out. I mean, even if, you know, not only do you have to kind of get runs off him, but you have to also defend in the sense that he has a very high chance of getting you out, right? Yeah. Unlike someone who is maybe kind of trying to be more defensive in that situation.
I mean, he's so quick in the air, right? That even with a wet ball, you would not completely write him off. That's Rashid Khan for you.
Mm. Yeah,
I didn't have him as my top spinner, but he's very high up on my list as well.
Cool.
I've got two back-to-back here. Don't know. Okay, so I'm going to go Glenn McGrath.
All right.
Who I think realistically, if the IPL was around during his career, might actually be, and maybe you could put him and Wasim Akram, might actually be on par with Malinga and Bumrah. I think if they, you know, they didn't have to bowl the final overs as much, as in they bowled the final overs, but in one day cricket, the games weren't as close and everything else. Yep. But Glenn McGrath at the end of a game was for years almost unplayable. I think McGrath is very similar to Bumrah in a lot of ways, even if he's a more traditional bowler. And the amount of times that Australia would be losing a game and McGrath would come on at the end and it would just, the game would go completely in the other direction, is ridiculous. And then I'm going to go just a step back further and I'm going to go to Joel Garner.
Ah, I had him in my list.
So if you watch the World Cup final again with England, and I think England were behind in this game, but they still had a chance at Lord's, and Garner just comes on and it's just over. And again, he probably didn't bowl as many last overs, you know, defending things as he should have, partly because him and McGrath were in teams that you didn't have to do that much. But in the first innings, no one could hit them in the last over, right? And I don't think that would be any different if they were chasing. Garner, the thing with Garner is, I think he probably bowled slightly within himself his whole career. And just occasionally something would happen and he would go up to fifth gear. And when he went up to fifth gear, I don't think you could face it. I truly believe he's one of the greatest bowlers of all time. We know that people from that era say when he came on to bowl in one day, that was it. You couldn't score, right? And at the death, that was when he was probably at his absolute best as well. So I think those two just deserve to be on any kind of list like this. It'd be really fascinating how both of them would handle modern cricket. Because Garner was, we don't really, I mean, Garner was kind of what, I'm trying to think, he's probably like Mornay Morkel, but more skillful. And Mornay Morkel wasn't a great T20 bowler, but I kind of figured that Garner would have worked it out. And we know that from the very little we saw of Glenn McGrath, he was going to be as good in T20 cricket as he was in one day cricket and test cricket. So I think he would have been absolutely fine. That's the only reason I've got them in that order, is because I know a little bit more about what McGrath could do across all three formats. And we just know a little bit less about Garner, but you could easily flip those two as well.
I had my money on you picking Garner. I had him in my list because that economy rate is crazy. And I have heard this exact same thing from so many people that it was absolutely impossible to get him away, right? Like,
yeah.
he was the one person you just block out. And if you look at like the scorecards from back in the day, like 25 runs in his quota, something like that.
And
that's basically...
and sometimes it's like 25 runs from like 12 overs as well, right?
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous the amount of runs. And you couldn't play him.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, even McGrath, I don't think people blocked McGrath out. I think they had trouble scoring off McGrath, but people didn't really block McGrath out. I would say that realistically, Boomer and Garner are the two white ball seamers that have been blocked out. We see it a little bit more now. People don't take risks off Boovy early on, and we see it a lot with Narine and Rashid Khan. But generally, you don't block out seamers, and I think Garner and Boomer were the two that that happened to.
Yeah, and I mean, the big bird, obviously, your prehistoric pick as always makes sense. And McGrath is safe. Even if he hasn't played a lot of T20 cricket, he made my list. Wasn't as high in my list, but it's a safe pick. Yes, a good job. All right, I'm going to go with my customary Pakistan pick now. I'm going to go Peek Umar Gul to bowl the final over. And
it's important
it
know that I'd written that in before you had said it.
I mean, it was like right there, looking me in the eye, was staring at me, right? And there was a time in T20 cricket early days, you know, late 2000s, where Malinga and Gul were your platinum death over bowlers.
Yep.
And although I would prefer to give Gul the penultimate over, just so that he sets it up beautifully for anyone to bowl that final over. But if Umar Gul, another one of those bowlers who literally bowled Yorkers at will. And not just any kind of Yorkers, reverse swinging Yorkers, which were extremely difficult to defend. Forget getting away, you know, you'd be lucky to get some bat on that. And it's not like that was his only skill set either. He had good variations, good change of pace. He could, you know, drag it back if he really wanted to. And he was a wicket taker. Again, he could completely derail the innings by taking two wickets in that over. And that's what I like to see in death overs as well. Like, more so wicket taking than containment. And all three of my guys, Malinga, Rashid Khan and Peek Umar Gul, offer me that. And then, of course, there's that famous Jared Kimber story in which he explains how Umar Gul used to rough up the ball, you know, kind of used to like rub it against his shirt and used to work it away with his fingernail. I think that's genius. Some people would call it cheating. I would say it's fucking brilliant. And
it's very important to know that there is probably not a bowler on this list outside of Rashid Khan who has not tampered with a ball. Maybe I was going to say Garner, probably because they didn't get reverse swing in his day, but he probably tampered with the seam to get more actual conventional seam as well. But bowlers just always tamper with balls. I don't know. It's one of those things that people get a little bit weird about. Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are analysing every part of our game. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts, and articles on what is really happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket8.com is your place for cricket intelligence.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I was tempted to pick him number two, but then I was like, oh my God, Rashid's going to go away. I don't want to miss out on Rashid. So
I had Rashid slightly ahead of Umar in my list, but very close to each other. So I don't. I think you could do a coin flip for me on either of them.
Fair enough.
I would have gone with Umar Gul as well, because I think we've spoken about it in multiple other episodes as well, that when they had that bowling power play where you had period of five overs you could pick somewhere in the innings, right? And it was just Umar Gul and Syed Ajmal who just dominate, right? You'd probably get less runs in that power play than you do otherwise. So I think that was a pretty straightforward pick. For my third one, I'm going with Dwayne Bravo. We spoke about him in the slow ball episode as well. Just the way he's able to change things up. And he's so difficult to get away, right? I mean, you can talk about 10 runs and over, meaning you can get it in twos. But he's a guy who's difficult to hit boundaries off because of the change of pace and the way he uses his lengths also. So I think he would be another tough guy to get away for 10 runs.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing with Dwayne Bravo is he's probably the worst bowler on this list by a considerable margin, right?
Yeah.
But he's also probably the most likely to go, yeah, I'll bowl this over. Right? Like I always thought he was slightly overrated as a death bowler because everyone used to say he was the king of the death. And there were many years where he got absolutely hammered. But the thing that I thought was brilliant about him is he made his career about death bowling. And so to do that as an all-rounder is a remarkable skill. And he ended up being an absolute brilliant, exponent of what he did. But he would... Everyone here is probably pretty confident bowling that last over, but he's the one who probably would demand it the most. I'd be like, no, that's what I'm here for. That's why you paid me the money.
Absolutely. And what we could expect, like four slower ones out of the six anyway. It was that dip again, the Malinga dip, the Bravo dip. That's what made those guys so special. And he was high up on my list as well. Like he was probably going to go next if I had the opportunity. So I think that's quite safe.
Okay. My next one, I'm going with a spinner. I'm going with a woman this time, Jess Jonathan.
Oh,
okay.
I think it's funny because you can't quite, I don't know if you can quite nail down what she does so well in the death, but she somehow manages to, again, she's a wicket-taking option as well in the death overs, right? She's just been incredible. I remember a period like with Meg Lanning as captain where she just throws the ball to Jess Jonathan in those last overs. And she'd pick up wickets and she wouldn't give away more than 7-8 runs in an over, right? And I guess it's different if you think about men's and women's cricket, where in women's cricket, you see a lot more spinners bowling those overs because it is tougher to get them away. So I think among them all, she's probably the top spinner who I would look at to bowl. Bowling over where you have to restrict your team to 10.
I mean, you say it's common for spinners to bowl at the death, but is that not partly because of how good she was and that other teams started following that? Mm-hmm. Like, if that's how I feel. And I remember, a couple of times I've looked at her numbers, like, they're ridiculous. She does not get hit at the death. And I think teams have started to work out a little bit more on how to bowl to her. But I'm just having a look here. She has bowled the second most balls ever by a woman at the death. And she's got a bowling average of 12. This is the last two overs, I should say. She's got an economy of 8 and a bowling average of 12 in those. And the next best spinner is Sophie Eccleston, who has been fantastic, but has done it like 300 times less, right? Mm. And we're talking about the last two overs here. So even when you talk about other people who've done it a lot, it's still she's almost bowled the most balls in the last two overs of T20 cricket in the world already, and she's a spinner, and there's no one else particularly close to her on that list who is another spinner. It really is remarkable how often she's done it and how good she has been. And you watch her, it's a combination of, I think that low arm action is really clever. Mm. She's actually, and this is something that she's very good at and male spinners are not as good at. I can only think of a couple of male spinners who are really good at this, of just bowling a Yorker, of just getting the right length and just saying, because it's, if you miss your Yorker length as a spinner, you know, it's probably going to be, you know, four or six. And yet she manages to get away with it, you know, time and time again. So I think I think she's fantastic on that. And also she's just, I think the other thing is you look at some of these players like, you know, Vaas and McGrath and Bravo, it's the competitiveness.
Yeah.
Like she really wants to bowl that last over and be the person who wins it, compared to just being good at it so you're good at it. Right, which is a completely different skill set to have. I think it's a really interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, Sophie's the only other name that kind of came to my mind. Mm. And you could say that Jess walked or Jess ran so Sophie could walk, something along those lines, right? But I mean, got no issues with that pick. I think it makes sense.
I was thinking of Sophie Eccleston as well, but I just think Jonathan has done it so much more. Like she's done it consistently well over, I mean, if across the board, if you're looking for the most economical spinner, it's going to be Eccleston, right? But just in those death overs, Jonathan's been crazy.
No, that checks out. I'm also going to go for a spinner, a bit of a hipster pick. It's a 90s pick for me. Sir Glenn Mushtaq.
Oh.
And I mean,
worried that you didn't have enough Pakistanis in your list? Or?
No, I was worried that if I pick Syed Ajmal Hassi, he's going to come out to bat. but Sir Glenn actually used to bowl at the death quite regularly for Pakistan in ODI cricket, right? In the 90s and everything. Like, it's not something he would be alien to. And again, at that point in time, no one really understood the Dusra. Right now, the Dusra is kind of extinct. But Saki had, you know, like, we'll never know, like, if Ajmal, you know, could have reached that level if he had played earlier in his career. Like, he was a late bloomer. But Sir Glenn, from a very young age, had kind of, you know, changed the game. He was a disruptor. And no one could pick his Dusra for shit. Like, I've seen so many videos of batters being completely, like, you know, outfoxed or bamboozled. And they just don't know what, like, halfway into the delivery, like, it's just about to pitch. And you can see them completely at sea. And I feel like if the conditions are just about dry enough, you know, of course, we live in an age where dew dominates discourse as well in limited overs cricket. But he's the only other spinner I have in my list. And that's just because he's actually regularly bowled at the death for Pakistan in the 90s in ODI cricket. And I feel like for an off spinner to be able to turn the ball both ways and not being able to get picked up that easily, I think that just adds to his threat. And yeah, I wouldn't feel too uncomfortable tossing the ball to Saki to defend 10 in the final over.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have him on my list. Did you have him, Estelle?
No, I would have actually gone for Ajmal ahead of him. Just because we've seen him, or I've seen him do it more than Sir Glenn.
What about you, Jared? You've watched both of those guys bowl. If you had to pick one.
I'd probably pick Ajmal, just because I feel like he bowled more at the death. And so it was a natural thing for him to do. I've got no problem with Saki, but I didn't have him on my top 15. That felt a very Bayrami pick out of that one. The thing I found interesting is you said you didn't have another spinner on your list, whereas I think there's an obvious other spinner.
There is one. There is a very obvious spinner.
So I'm going to take him now, and that's Sunil Narine.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a great story about Sunil Narine. A friend of mine became an analyst and, you know, started working for IPL teams and everything. And he said, you've got to bowl more off spin at the death. Off spin at the death is killing. And the coaches are like, what? And he's like, yeah, like there's all these balls bowled at the death by off spinners and no one ever hits them. And the coaches are like, are you sure? Look, I was like, yeah. And then he went back and he looked at it because he was like a little bit spooked by this conversation. And it was like 80% of the balls bowled by off spinners at the death were Narine's. And that's why he was doing so well, is it was Narine. You know, he can peak Narayan could spin it both ways. Hmm. And if you add in the knuckleball as well, he has kind of all the different weapons that he needs to be able to stop you from scoring. He's the best person at bowling for singles I think I've seen in cricket ever, probably, which again, in this sort of situation would come in very, very handy. And he wouldn't, it wouldn't affect him at all to be able to bowl in that 20th over. So yeah, I like him doing it. And I wanted one spinner, and Rashid Khan and Jess Jonathan were both on my list. Mm. I think I had Narayan higher than both of them though. So I'm not too concerned about getting, I was really worried you were going to pick him than Bayram, but then you went for a random one. So I was happy with that.
So many of Narayan's, like, you know, four over spells are binary. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, which is amazing. And, you know, we've been discussing him obviously a lot on overthrows because of what he's doing in the IPL. And he should patent the figures 1 for 24. They scream Sunil Narayan, right? That's what it is, basically. Run a ball, we'll get a wicket or two. And yeah, I mean, he is like, he should have made our all-time T20 team as well. But it still chose otherwise.
About that.
And yeah, I mean, I actually forgot about him. Weirdly enough, with the IPL going on, I still managed to forget about him. But yeah, I mean,
he doesn't bowl as much in the death now as he used to. But I think Peak Narayan certainly bowled a lot in the death. So I've got one last pick, and I've got like so many guys I want to slip in. And I'm trying to work out which direction to go. I am going to go Kirtley Ambrose.
Ooh.
I think, again, you know, now we've got Big Bird and Little Bird in the same list. But I think Ambrose, probably because West Indies didn't win World Cups and Garner and McGrath did win World Cups, Ambrose is not remembered as much as being a great death bowler. But he was basically on the, I think he was on a similar level to those two players. I had him higher than Wasim Akram. Not that I don't think Wasim Akram wasn't a better, wasn't as good a one-day bowler, but I think specifically at the death, I think Ambrose was a better bowler, and I don't know how you actually hit him at the end of innings. And again, would have just felt very comfortable doing this. He would have just seen 10 runs, great. Okay, I'll come back to you with 3 or 4 runs, and then we'll go and we'll play some music with Richie Richardson and get a really bad haircut when I retire. So yeah, I think Kirtley Ambrose is the one for me.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember that spell, even though that was test cricket in which he took like 7 wickets for 1 run. When you talk about threat levels, he's got to be right up there. Like batters would actually be crapping their pants facing Kirtley Ambrose. And then not someone who sledged anyone, but he had the crazy eyes, right? Like just look at those crazy eyes and you have to score 10 runs in the final over. I don't know how you manage that. So as far as hipster picks go, I really like that you picked both Little Bird and Big Bird.
Yeah, I've got all the birds.
Yeah, just not Dickie. But he shouldn't be bowling the last over, right? I'm going to go for my last pick for a guy who also has West Indian descent, but he's not a West Indies international. I'm going to go Chris Jordan for England. Oh. Yeah, I mean, yes, a lot of people might think that Chris Jordan is a bit, you know...
You're about to get a lot of hate from a lot of England fans here.
But I think that...
You're picking Chris Jordan over Jofra Archer.
I mean, when you think of death bowling, right? Chris Jordan, that's kind of his USP.
Yeah. And yet still, you're picking Chris Jordan over Jofra Archer. Just pointing that out.
I think he's just done it more for franchise teams across the globe as well. And he's got the full skill set. Like, he's more pacey than what you imagine he is. Like, he'll be clocking 145 quite regularly. You don't like, you look at him as a bowler, you look at his build, you look at the deliveries, it doesn't seem like he'll be as quick as he actually is. He's deceptively quick, got a killer slow one, he can nail the Yorker, slow bounces, whatever. Like, Chris Jordan can give you the full death bowling skill set, and I think, you know, he has been a touch underrated as well. Sure, there have been times where Chris Jordan has gone for plenty. I'm not saying that hasn't happened. It has. And when he's bad, like very, very low floor when he's bad. But when he gets it right, Chris Jordan wins you a game bowling at the death. And that's why I suppose I've gone with him ahead of Jofra Archer.
I think you forgot about Jofra Archer. And now you're trying to justify it.
He's been injured since God knows how long. I'm allowed to have a
The thing with Chris Jordan is I actually think he's a good death bowler. Hmm. And But if you are a full-time death bowler, you are going to be remembered a lot. But Chris Morris was, I almost had Chris Morris on my list. I think Chris Morris was a fantastic death bowler, right? James Faulkner, a fantastic death bowler. But unless you do it game in, game out, and Bravo's about the only one who's ever managed to kind of get away with this, you're occasionally just going to get smashed unless you are Malinga or Boomer, right? And so because of that, you get remembered as much for your failures as you do your successes. And I think in that case, Chris Jordan is certainly a good one of the best death bowlers in modern cricket. It's just that he's not great. It's just there aren't many good death bowlers in modern cricket. And you forgot Jofra Archer.
Also, there is a bit of recency bias that kicked in over here because in the PSL that just concluded, when Multan defeated Peshawar in the basically the semi-final, right? It was a playoff game, but the winner just, you know, the loser was eliminated, winner went to the final. It was that final eliminator. And yeah, Jordan won it for them. And he cleaned up Babar Azam with this Yorker that was one of the deliveries of the tournament. And I was like, this man still has it. And I was basically saying that or thinking that this is, he's yesterday's death bowler. But he came and showed us that, no, I'm going to book a ticket to the Caribbean and the USA. And he has. He's part of England's squad, right? So, I mean, I just think the longevity of it all also kind of matters. And you know what? How I'm going to counter this? The fitness element. He's fitter than Jofra Archer. There you go.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. Cricket intelligence for you every day.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
He certainly fits up. I was just having a look. I wondered if how many times he would have bowled the 20th over. I would have thought he might have the record of being of having bowled at the most. But I forgot about Bravo. So Bravo has bowled it in 62 innings. So 62 times he has bowled the last over. And then it's Andre Russell, Karan Pollard, Dan Christian, Tom Curran, and he's down at about 12th. So he hasn't bowled it as much as I thought he might have. I thought he might have bowled it a few more times. Vinay Kumar bowled it 21 times in his career, which is ridiculous. So the one thing I would have thought would have gone back in your favour is just how often he might have actually bowled that 20th over. The other thing that's worth pointing out here is your best bowler doesn't usually bowl the 20th over or the 50th over.
But penultimate over is where it's at.
Yeah, and so with that, if you know, McGrath was probably one of the last bowlers who bowled the 20th over regular or the 50th over regularly, I should say. And a lot of other bowlers don't do that. So a lot of these guys aren't doing it all that consistently. And Chris Jordan has done it 23 times in T20 cricket. So it shows you he probably usually bowls the 19th as well.
Hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Last pick. Hmm. Yeah, few options, but I'll go with Mitchell Starc as my fifth pick. Another left-armer. I think I have four already. Yeah. Hmm.
KKR fans will be getting in touch in a moment.
No, yeah. We get to
make
pick.
Estelle,
we get
pay some of that money for him.
Not current, not on current form, but at his peak.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He has to be among those bowlers, right? Just the way he was able to, again, be a massive wicket-taking threat, and just deliver in those overs where players were going after him. Mm. He was just so good at keeping his head and, again, delivering those Yorkers almost at will, right? So, yeah, another easy pick.
Yeah, I mean, if we exclude the last couple of years, right? If you go back to when Starc was Starking, it didn't matter what format he was playing. He was Mitchell Starc and you had to deal with that. Yeah. So, I'm fine with that pick.
It depends on, like, so none of us have Mustafizur.
Yeah. I did have him in my list. Like, he probably was going to be
well.
My next pick. Yeah.
It was between Starc and Fizz for me. Yeah,
yeah, because and there's a couple of guys who've had very good short picks. I wondered if Estelle might go Pereira as well. I didn't mention him on purpose. He's actually done it the sixth most times, by the way.
Oh.
I'm just having a look if there's anyone else on this list. Boovy's done it quite a few times. It has not gone particularly well for him. Wayne Parnell's done it a lot of times. Andrew Tye.
He was good back
Tom
in
Curran?
The day.
So Hale Tanvir, who I had on my list. So there's a few. I'm just looking at the guys who've done it the most. Just on Chris Jordan, his economy rate was 9.5 when he bowled the last over. So half the time, if this was for your life, you would have died. And the other half of the time, you would have been fine. Dwayne Bravo, in the last over, his economy, and this is the last over of a chase, remember? His economy is 8.4.
Wow.
Okay.
And I'm just having a look. I cannot see another bowler who's done it multiple times, who's done it more, until you get to Nathan Ellis 17 times at 7.5.
Ooh.
Okay. So Nathan Ellis and Dwayne Bravo, very good. And that last over. Who else did we forget? Well, not forget, but didn't slip in. Waqar Yunus, I thought, was an interesting one.
He was on my long list. Waqar was definitely there. The Fizz was probably going to be my next pick. Yep. I mean, if you take the last year out, Haris Rauf had a case as well. He was really good.
Yeah, he was another one I wasn't that far away on. I would have had Shane Warne as well. He never had to do it for Australia, but probably would have been absolutely fine at it and certainly would have liked it. And you could probably throw Murali in there as well. Mm-hmm. If you wanted
Murali would have wanted to, though.
I don't think Murali would have, but he could have done it, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Another one that I had is a real hipster pick. I don't know if you guys will remember much of him, but Alphonso Thomas.
Yes, I do. Yeah. The balls guy, right?
Yeah, he was fantastic. You know, he was basically a better version of Chris Jordan, you know, but he wasn't tested at the highest level. I think he might have played a little bit of IPL, didn't he? He certainly played Champions League, I think. He played for the Scorchers for years as well. Almost every time I saw him at the death, it felt like no one could ever hit him off the square. I just thought he was a fantastic bowler. And at a time, he was probably in T20 cricket, even before Malinga, the first specialist death bowler that really starred. Do you know what I mean? That was really on that other level. And unfortunately for him, he probably didn't make as much money as he should have from cricket, because if he comes along 7 or 8 years later, he probably would have been paid quite a lot of money. But he was fantastic, you know, as a death bowler towards the end. And maybe sort of that sort of prototypical shorter death bowler, that, you know, sort of that, the sort of the skittier ones that we see a lot of today.
I think he played for Pune Warriors or someone in the IPL.
Yeah, I think he was in the IPL briefly, but it would have been, I'd have to go back and check. But my guess is it would have been when he was beyond his best anyway. Mm. His best was probably that 2006 to 2010-11 period. And then after that, I think he slowed down a little bit as well. And wasn't quite the bowler he had been, but he was fantastic. Just having a look, he bowled the 18th and 19th, he bowled the 19th and 20th overs 36 times in the second innings. and he had an economy of 7.43.
Wow.
Which just tells you how ridiculous he was in that period for a very, very long time. Wahab Riaz is another one. If you bring in the 19th over, who we didn't mention, he has an economy of 7.3 in that period. And this one, I almost put him on, but I'm just not sure the internet's ready for it. Jade Dernbach.
I was going to say, he was on my long list. He was the last name that I wanted to mention. And I wanted to actually talk to you specifically about it because we've had this discussion about Jade Dernbach. And he was, like, if there was one over that I had to bowl from Dernbach, it'd probably be one of the death overs, right? 19th or 20th.
So, 34 times he bowled the 19th and 20th in the second innings. And he had an economy of 7.51. And he's remembered as a bad bowler.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
What are we talking about here? So it does let you know that, you know, the way that we look at the death bowlers is a little bit biased. But yeah, no, I think Jade or Alphonso Thomas could have almost slipped in here. It's probably the lack of exposure at the higher level that makes it a little bit tougher to go with players like that. I don't know how you felt. I felt that there weren't really that many death bowlers I trusted. Yeah. And that was the tricky thing. It might be why I've got three guys from before T20 cricket, because you could trust them. They never had to do it all that much.
There were four names remaining on my list, right? There was Haris Rauf, Waqar Yunus, Jade Dernbach. And I've deleted my list now, but there was one other name which I can't remember. But yeah, I did not have a lot of options. I usually come in with like 15 to 16 names or sometimes even more. This wasn't one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, what about Andrew Hall? There was a time where he bowled really well at the death. I think South Africa pretty much brought him as a utility player. He could keep, bat, bowl, whatever. And I think he was quite good in the death during that, like, a short period of time. I also had Megan Schutt, another one who does it a lot.
She's bowled the most balls in the death in women's T20. She came up at the top of my list before.
Jared, what are the Fizz's numbers? Because he was like unanimous sixth pick for us, but you haven't really mentioned his numbers. So is he actually that good at the death, or are we assuming he is because of the cutters?
No, well, he certainly was. So he has the best IPL death season ever, where he went at less than a run a ball, I think, and took a billion wickets. Let me just... Where is he? 8.53. So even after his injury, he still managed to keep that. There aren't many players here under nines at all. So yeah, no, he definitely goes up there. Just in T20 cricket, we don't have ball by ball data that goes back like forever, obviously. But in the Malinga has bowled the most overs in the last two overs of an ODI game in our records. He had an economy rate of 5.
Wow.
I've got the second innings here. Yeah, in the second innings of those games. Remember, not as many of these games would come down to the end. Like, there might have been that he was bowling at the end, but they were already massively in front. Murali's economy rate in the last two overs, he did 105 times. His economy rate was 3.76.
Okay.
So, you know, he was quite tidy. Brett Lee did it quite a lot as well. You've got quite a few spinners here. I'm trying to see if there's anyone else that is worth... Mackay Antini did it a lot. He has an economy rate of 4.44. And Abdul Razak. Mm. That might be the Bangladeshi Abdul Razak.
Oh, is it with the K? It's with the K. Bangladesh.
I've just found Glenn McGrath's numbers. Glenn McGrath, 82 times he bowled the last two overs of the second innings. He had a bowling average of 20, which is very low. And he went at 3.74 runs.
Wow.
So there you go. So yeah, so there's some really cool little nuggets through there. But yeah, you know, other than Chris Jordan and Saqlain Mushtaq, I think we did well. So let's go through the teams.
Actually, let me tell you a funny story about Saqlain Mushtaq. Of all the people that you would pick to be your favorite player, for growing up in the 90s, my sister's favorite player was Saqlain Mushtaq.
Interesting.
She used to even like try to bowl like him. She's not a cricket fan at all, but she used to try and bowl like Saqlain Mushtaq.
I love Saqlain Mushtaq. I used to try and bowl like him as well. I loved his action. I'm not sure I would have put him on this list, but that's a different argument.
If all I right. had to, in hindsight, I should have probably picked the Fizz over Jordan. I'd say that. Because I did have both of those guys like almost at equal footing in my list. And now after the numbers, I feel like I should have gone for Fizz.
I just couldn't believe that you were like, it's a guy of a West Indian origin who didn't play for them. And I was just like, great, Jofra Archer. What? Because I almost went Jofra ahead of Kirtley. I mean, I can't believe Jofra's not on this list. And I blame both of you, really. Although I don't think Mitch Stark's a bad last pick. But yeah, Bayram went really rogue again.
Probably not winning this one.
Estelle has Wasim Akram, Chimin Devas, Dwayne Bravo, Jess Johnson, Mitch Stark. Bayram has Lassis Malinga. It started so well. Rashid Khan. Oh, Umar Gul. Oh, Saqlain Mushtaq. Chris Jordan. And I've got Jasprit Bumrah, Glenn McGrath, Joel Garner, Sunil Narine, Kirtley Ambrose. I think I've got hipster history and modern cricket covered on this one. I think you guys might be done on this one. But let us know who you think won and also who else we forgot or other players you think that are worthy of mentioning. Chuck them all in the comments.
Make sure you let us know who you think won because we do take this stuff really, really seriously.
We're going to have to start doing votes, aren't we? We might need to do a quick picks poll to see who's won each one in the future.
I mean, we could do it on Discord at the very least. I think Discord does have polls, so maybe there's something over there.
I think Estelle's too popular over there, so I'm a little bit worried.
There are some super fans of Estelle, not just in Discord, also in the YouTube comments. You've always got like five people just showering praise on Estelle, which is great.
That's I'm not biased, Behram.
Let's just go back to some of these lists.
Anyway, if you guys enjoyed this episode, do give us a like and subscribe to both this channel and Jared's other channel on YouTube. And just a quick reminder for you guys, goodareas.co is the webpage where you can find all of our written work, videos and podcasts. It's your one-stop shop for all the work that our team at Good Areas carries out. So go and favorite that page. And yeah, we'll see you again in a week's time with another episode of Crick Picks. Till now, that is all. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minvo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minvo.pro now.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.